another episode of Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Frank.
Frank is so excited.
I'm trying not to breathe over here.
He's got his poker face.
Well, only because in the last episode, I told Frank we were doing pre-show, and I said, dude, I could hear you breathing like Darth Vader or something on the last episode. It was kind of scary. I was all like, man, I hope he doesn't keel over during the show.
Man, it sounded like I was having a freaking asthma attack or some
shit. It's pretty rough, man. It was pretty rough, and along with Waverly making her noise the last episode, and she just, every time you talked, I went back and listened to it, it's like every time Frank talked, she talked. Yeah. It's like, I have something more to say than you do, Frank.
She's like, shut up.
Shut up. You talk too much. And so
I feel sorry for her future husband. She's going to be like, shut up.
Nah, let her talk. I don't, you know, women are told her whole life to be quiet. It's okay. She was harmless. But,
no, I'm kidding.
It's that from the Guardians of the Galaxy song. I was, from the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen.
Right? Matt, shut up. Listen.
I don't even know what you're talking
Cat
about.
Cat Stevens, father and son.
Only you remember the Guardians soundtrack.
Yeah.
You're the guy who actually like bought it on cassette.
Yeah. Weirdo. Cassette and CD.
Which is weird because you could have just like
downloaded it
and then recorded your own tape and you could add a digital and a tape copy.
The SUV only plays cassettes, so it was.
Wait, you have a car that only plays cassettes?
Yeah. And you listen to the radio.
What year are we in?
Hey, I was born with not that only had cassettes. Yeah.
Well, not no one being born in.
I have no room to talk.
A-track.
Yes. and so old that it also had a walkie-talkie. I mean, a CB in the car.
Dude.
So there's like the A-track and then a CB player, AM, FM, push button tuner.
I think you had the portable CD player that you had to put into the cigarette thing.
Yes,
to play. Oh, totally. Me too.
I have that. That's what I use for an auxiliary cable. It's a CD with the thing.
No, mine was a tape that went in the tape player that ran out the cord.
It's weird that
into my CD player.
Stores are starting, like Best Buy doesn't sell CDs anymore, and a lot of people expect Target and Walmart to follow suit in the next couple of years. And so Amazon's like the only place you can get a CD, and then bands sell them on their website. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if movies will ever go that route. I mean, I hope not, because I'd like to have a hard copy. I like the artwork and everything. And everything from our childhood is going away. Toys R Us and CDs, and, you know, it's all digital.
It's true.
Which is, I saw this coming years ago, but it's still kind of like.
And then they cry about pirating.
Well, but I think that's part of the digital era, is they're trying to prevent pirating by releasing stuff digitally early, and, you know, and I don't know. It's interesting. You know, there's no way. I think they've given up on fighting pirating because there's nothing they can really do about it. They just have to hope they put good enough product out in theaters and whatever that the movie makes enough money to prevent pirating.
Did you ever use Morpheus?
Yeah. Old file servant Morpheus, and there was another one out there.
With an N. Who was the one that started with an N? It was the first one.
I never
one to do
was
it.
A Napster guy.
Napster.
I never liked Napster, but I did use Morpheus for getting music and stuff, and I still use torrents now for movies and stuff. Yeah. But we won't talk about illegal downloading on the show because
do not encourage that.
A man might be listening.
It's true.
You know,
and go back in our history. Like,
just because I'm checking every day for Infinity War to leak out doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to download it illegally.
Can you find one with caption?
I get it.
Because Jane always bitches that none of your shit has caption.
It's basically impossible.
That's what I told her.
I'll give you the code to my Vudu account. You can use my Vudu account.
Nah, that's okay.
Because whenever they do torrents, they have to hard code the subtitles in. And so most of the time,
I'll probably buy it anyway. So it's not that big of a deal to me, because I would probably want to get a collector's one. Probably, you know, they're gonna come out one with the gauntlet. So
probably
special case. Something so like I'll that. Ditch the $30 for that damn.
So
thing.
How's y'all's week been?
So far, so good. I mean, what did I watch?
I'm still gonna like staring at you. And we're in Texas, and the heat index is like 110. It's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
You're in like all black and a long sleeve shirt. I still don't. I'm not gonna understand.
I figure the less skin that I show here, the less it'll.
Well, that's a good thing. Half time we can't get Frank to wear pants, but that's another story. But like,
I never wear pants when I come over
it's
here.
Like hot, man. It's like, I don't know.
Hot.
I mean, is that like the half Mexican in you, man? That like. You can just sweat it out, you know?
Yeah, that probably
that's
is.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
You know.
The Mexican vanilla.
Goddamn Mexicans. So.
I'll sustain for any comment towards Mexicans.
It's okay. It's just
okay.
Matt.
Huh?
It's okay. It's just Matt. You can make fun of Matt all you want.
Yeah. Matt's like a brother.
We make fun of you every time you're not on the show.
I don't give a shit.
So you got to get it back.
I can get make fun of Matt just for being Matt. Doesn't have to be like what nationality background he might be related to.
It's funny because somehow I had his Amazon Prime and I was looking at something and somehow I logged in into his account because, you know, it has a one-touch login or whatever. He works for Coke, but yet he orders Coke from Amazon.
I did order Coke from Amazon.
I'm like, what?
Yep.
Who does that? You work in grocery stores. Why would you order Coke from Amazon when you work in grocery stores?
Yep.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You share your account with Mark?
Well, I mean,
we did it one time.
Yeah, one time. So he's
okay. Because I was like, do you make sure to clear like search history and order history for some of those special things you buy?
Yeah, he doesn't see any of my hentai searches.
Okay.
I have my own account now, but at one time, and so when you log in Amazon, it still shows, do you want Matt or Mary's account, because it's under my wife.
Yeah.
And I hit his one the other day, and I didn't even realize I did it, and I was like, whoa. Why does he order Coke and he works in grocery stores?
That doesn't make sense.
There's no way you can explain that to me.
There's no explanation. I don't know why I did it.
So your week's okay, Frank?
Yeah. Yeah. I found out, like, you know, my knee's, like, I guess okay. Just has inflammation. I got old man problems.
I've told you that. You're an old fuck.
You know, just like brittle kneecaps and...
Brittle.
So it makes this popping and cracking sound. Sounds like I get gravel underneath my kneecaps.
You ate too many Rice Krispie
Pebbles.
Treats.
Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so.
Cereal that you pour the milk in.
So, you know, like when fluid builds up, it causes swelling and it irritates the crap out of me.
Fluid.
But apparently, according to my doctor, I'll live.
That's good.
That's probably.
Are you going to get like a peg leg?
That would be awesome.
If I got a peg leg and I made it out of wood, what should I shape it like? Look at this, like, look on your face of what you're thinking about.
Like a big old flopping.
I'm not gonna answer that.
It was a setup for Matt.
Yeah,
because I can look at his face. He's like, "Yeah, I want to say it." You know it, Frank.
But it couldn't be rounded off because then you'd slip around everywhere, so it'd have to look like this schlong, like ran.
Wait a minute, does it? Question: would it be let me pronounce this right? A double entendre? Would it be like wood?
Would
it would?
Yeah,
have like the balls would be on the back of the knees,
right? Like the calves, like the balls would be like my calf muscles. Awesome.
Dude, if that ever happened, like, I don't want you to lose your leg, but if you ever did lose your leg, hey, you get a dick shaped wooden leg.
Yeah,
me and Matt are gonna come up with $50 to pay you.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Okay? But then at the same time, I would actually have like a foot attachment, and I would make sure it was like 12 inches, so that could also be like a double entendre.
Okay,
got a foot long foot.
Anyway, so my week was okay, and before we get into download this, we usually do news briefs at the end, but this is kind of a big news. And speaking of bad jokes, James Gunn has gotten in trouble for bad jokes he told 10 years ago on Twitter and has been fired from Disney by Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, I saw this story yesterday, and I'm thinking, man, you know, and not to sound prudish, because what he said was wrong. You know, it was taken out of context. He made jokes about rape and pedophiles, and that's never funny, but...
Was it more sarcasm than it was?
It was supposed to be sarcasm. This guy got his start back in 2002 working for Troma. Troma Films is as unclassy as it gets. You know, they made Toxic Avenger and all that stuff. It's all about bad jokes. And Gunn went through a lot of stuff with suicidal thoughts and trouble coping as he got older. And telling jokes was his way of dealing with it. And that still doesn't make the jokes right. But it seems like lately, between the Me Too movement and other movements that are going on in Hollywood, it's become this conservative witch hunt in a way for people doing things wrong. And they're not even given a chance to apologize. And Gunn did come out and apologize, but it was almost too late. Disney had already made up their mind. And this morning, Dave Bautista has spoken out about it and said that he feels that he doesn't like the way it's being handled, that they should have at least given him a chance. And it's funny is that John Lasseter, who helped create Toy Story, still works for Disney, and he had sexual accusations brought up against him. But he was given a cozy consultant job, and we're going to put you in the back office for the company and still keep you employed. And so it's almost like, what's going on here? And, you know, he was busy writing Guardians 3. It was supposed to start filming early next year for release in 2020, and now he's no more. And I just, I'm not, again, not condoning what he did was right. But 10 years ago, we've all said stupid shit in our life, and we've maybe said stupid shit on social media. But are people not given a chance to make amends nowadays? It just seems like...
Yeah, people change.
The quick thing to do now is like, oh, you're caught, let's fire him. Whether it's Chris Hardwick or whoever else. And maybe some of these guys are creeps. Maybe they really are.
Right.
But from all accounts I've read of what Dave Bautista said, other people, that's not James Gunn. He's not a creep or a weirdo. It's just something he did 10 years ago and be given a chance. So what do y'all think about this?
I agree. It's like it happened 10 years ago. And no one was up in arms about it until someone told them to be up in arms about it. So it's just a bunch of sheep.
And the guy who found this apparently has ties with conservatives and Donald Trump and things like that. And that's his job, is to try to find stuff on people.
Yeah.
Which is a sad job. And again, yeah, go on.
You know. Yeah. No, you're right. And, you know, this guy, he spoke out, and it looks like, you know, someone... You know, that was a, you know, big Trump supporter, and he's really good at digging up dirt, found this dirt on him and released these tweets that, you know, were still there whenever Disney hired him in the first place, right. And yet there was no outrage until, you know, like I said earlier, someone said, hey, well, you have to be outraged.
Like you said, we now live in a society of sheep, where somebody tells you where to go, what to do, and you do it for the most part. Nobody thinks for themselves. What? When one person tells you to be upset, then everybody acts like they should get upset. I was watching an interview with a comedian, and he's saying that in some ways it's hard to be a comedian nowadays because a lot of comedy is sarcasm.
Yeah.
And this generation of millennials, and this is what I'm blaming this on, millennials, they don't comprehend sarcasm. They take everything so personal. They don't... If we say something about, let's say, Mexicans. We love Mexicans.
Yeah.
What we're pointing out is we're trying to make the fact that what we're saying is stupid.
I love to eat them. And that's
our point is it's supposed to be stupid.
Yeah, like there was one joke that he said that said, you know, I took a bite of an enchilada and it burned my tongue, fucking Mexicans. And I'm like, you know, I was like, I laughed at that. I thought it was hilarious. But, you know, and
you know,
both my sides of the family came from Mexico.
Like, If we made fun of Chinese people and egg rolls, Chinese people didn't make egg rolls.
Yeah.
So we were like, it's sarcasm because we know that egg rolls don't come from China.
Yeah.
And we don't hate Chinese people, you know.
And Mark brought up yesterday that, you know, this, you know, he turned a new leaf whenever he signed with Disney. And, you know, it's done a lot of good things for James. And, you know, this is really sad that he kind of lost out on this opportunity that I think he should have been able to finish this trilogy.
Yeah. And Disney, as you know, a couple months ago, they had a quick trigger finger with Roseanne, too. And granted, and that was a more current thing. She made a racial joke towards a congressman, I think she made, or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they quickly canceled her show and fired her. But that, to me, is different because that was then and now. This is something the guy did 10 years ago. Why not call him to the office and sit him down and talk to him? Say, hey, man, James, what you know, what is this? But it seems like they immediately just, you know, fired him. Mm-hmm. And it's just unfortunate that we're in this movement. And there are some genuine creeps out there like Harvey Weinstein and guys that deserve what came to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but sometimes it's like you're judged in the public eye so quickly now without giving a chance to make amends. You know, and it's like, give these guys a chance to see what they say.
Well, it's what I call the liberal media police. They're the judge, jury, and executioners of careers nowadays.
This has anything to do with liberal media or anything. This was Disney making this decision.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is it's this overwhelming, you're guilty without proof.
But
yes, this is proof. They have proof of them on this.
I don't think it's liberal media or political at all. This was a decision made by the studio.
This was a conservative person that came out because he was going out and speaking out against Donald Trump. And I was like, this is actually the people who are considered non-social justice warriors came out and ousted James Gunn, which is sad because it's like, it's just like the guy alone, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it. I don't know who they picked to replace James.
They haven't said. I mean, there's a lot of talk. There's online saying the guy who did Thor Ragnarok, you know, to bring him in to do it. Because he has that similar style, but it's a shame that he can't finish what he started, you know, because he even has already said that 3 was it. He was going to do a third one, and he was going to move on from Guardians, so we were hoping he could finish what he started.
One of my favorite things about the movies was the soundtrack, and that was James's signature.
Right.
You know, he believed it should be an action orchestra, and the soundtrack kind of makes it like a pseudo you know, action.
And hopefully they're able to use the script he finished too and not throw it out and start over, because
it'll be a completely different movie.
Got his continuity going, and hopefully, and his script was, you know, was good enough that I could see him maybe doing some rewrites, but hopefully they use the basic idea, because he even worked with the Russo brothers on Infinity War on certain aspects to make sure his characters were tied into what he's going to do in part three.
Yeah.
You know, so, so we'll see. It's just the world we unfortunately are living in at the moment.
Yeah.
And, hopefully, there comes a time when maybe one of these things happen and some studio does stand up for their person and say, hey, we want to find out the facts first, instead of being like AMC or Disney and firing Chris Hardwick or James Gunn. Yep. And just, you know, and not getting all the facts.
Yeah, right now it's feelings first, facts later. It should be facts first.
Right.
Feelings later.
Or compromise, like, hey, we're going to suspend you, but you're not fired. Let's...
Under investigation. Right now
we're going, we're not yanking you from the movie, but first we're going to look into it, see what is actually going on with this, and then we'll make that decision. You know, like, you know, just like you said with Chris Hardwick, you know, I'm not going to sit out there and make myself sound like I defend guys that act like shitholes to women. It's inexcusable. But at the same time, it also feels like all people have to do is accuse you of something and you're automatically guilty nowadays.
Right. And that being said, again, we support the Me Too movement because there are women don't deserve that.
Yeah.
But it just seems more and more lately, it's like, let's get the facts first, people, before we just disown these people and get
burn
rid of
someone
them.
At the
ruin
state.
Their career. So
right. Oh, nowadays, literally, it's scream witch, burn them at the stake.
Yeah.
But all right, well. Before we get into the Dark Knight 2008 film, let's talk what we've downloaded this week. And download this, what have we streamed, watched lately? And I usually let you guys start, but I'm going to start. And I really, again, man, I had a slacking week. I haven't watched much. I watched The Dark Knight, which is the movie we're doing today. And that's about it. I haven't really watched much this week. So what have you guys watched, downloaded this week?
I rewatched The Red Hood. I probably should have rewatched Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, I did rewatch Death of Superman.
Oh,
I did watch that.
I still need to see that.
Excellent movie.
Excellent.
Yes, much liked it very much.
I'm guessing, Frank, this is that's what you downloaded this week.
No, that was actually a couple weeks ago, but...
Oh, okay.
Anyway, continue what you were...
No, I watched... I wanted to rewatch a Disney animated...
DC animated.
A DC animated movie, and I was feeling the Red Hood, because usually I can get away with it, because I'm like, hey, you know, Red Hood's voice is Jensen Ackles, babe, you know. She loves Supernatural, so Jensen Ackles is her favorite character on there. She even thought about naming our youngest, our last-born child, Dean Winchester Childs. That was an option.
Thank God you got Luke instead.
Yeah. No, Joseph.
Or Joseph.
Joseph.
Yeah, because Dean is... Oh, that's an old person name.
It is.
Yeah. He would have been old before he was like 20. He would have been like 55.
55.
Yeah. Well, video game-wise, on my phone, I downloaded Street Fighter 4.
Ooh.
You know, the graphics are actually pretty good. You only get 4 characters to start off with, or you can pay the $5 and unlock everything.
Is it free?
The game's free, but you only get 4 characters. Just, no, you know.
Just release that, because I've looked good Street Fighter before, and there's never been a free Street Fighter on the phone.
Right. Well, I have Google Play. You have, you know, iTunes.
Yeah, that doesn't mean
I whatever
on both systems.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, the graphics are really good. It actually plays fairly well for being a, you know, on your screen tapping and stuff. And the other thing was, on Netflix, I watched the second Godzilla animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
Long drawn out, pretty much like the first one. Really didn't lead to anything. You know, it kind of just left you there at the end. You know, you're kind of like, really? And at the same time, you're kind of like the hero. You're kind of like, you want to bitch slap him and wish he would just die. You know, at this point in the film.
It's funny, because we're in the midst of recording on Saturday. Well, Comic-Con's going to San Diego. We're going to talk some Comic-Con later, and we're awaiting the trailers for Aquaman and Godzilla King of the Monsters. We're expecting those this weekend. I've still yet to watch the anime Godzilla. I tried to watch the first one like 3 times, and I get like 30 minutes in, and kids need something, or I just haven't been able to sit down and watch the whole thing. And it's a little, like you said, kind of a lot of dialogue. It's kind of boring at times.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so. But, yeah, so that's it.
Yep.
We downloaded. Man, we're downloading fools. I don't know. I go through phases like that where I watch a lot of stuff, download a lot of stuff, then I don't watch as much.
Yeah.
You know.
Catching up. Everything catches.
Yeah, you know, and other I things. Kind of go through phases. All right, well, we are discussing today's featured movie is 2008's The Dark Knight, which celebrated its 10th anniversary this past week. And so we've done back-to-back 2008 movies. We did Iron Man last week, and then we did this week we're talking The Dark Knight, which is directed by Christopher Nolan, of course, and it's the second of his Dark Knight trilogy. And he rebooted Batman in 2005 with Batman Begins, and it was well-received. Not huge box office-wise. It did good enough to warrant a sequel, and Warner Brothers had come back and do another one. And so he did, and he released this film, which is an absolute masterpiece.
Yes.
And it came out, and it did huge numbers at the box office, over $500 million. To paraphrase the Joker, you change things, this movie changed things. It changed the way... I would argue that this was the modern era changing of comic book films that even led to what Marvel Universe is doing now in a lot of ways to make quality comic book films. And yes, Iron Man kind of started, but I think The Dark Knight gets a lot more credit than Iron Man does because it established a new status quo for the way the comic book movies can be for adults. And I remember we saw it in theaters.
Yeah, all of us went to it.
I think we were all in opening night at the Edwards Marquee. This is might be the first movie we've done that we actually all saw together in theaters.
Dang. Been that long that we actually
Spider-Man 3.
We haven't done Spider-Man 3 on the show.
On the show.
We all saw. And I remember, I also remember this being like the last movie I feel like we stood in line for. You know, like we bought tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And when we were all standing in line, Edward's waiting to get in and the long lines. And it seems like now it's like you buy reserved tickets, you just go sit down.
Get there whenever you want.
Yeah, you don't have to sit down.
Yeah.
This feels like the last movie I remember us standing in line for. It was a transcending experience. As a longtime Batman fan, we did Batman 89 for the start of the reboot of the show, and Batman 89 was a movie that made me grow into a bigger Batman fan than I already was as a young kid. And now this movie, 30 years later, when The Dark Knight came out 10 years ago, this movie made me an even bigger Batman fan. And I realized, like, wow, the Batman is the character that can define cinema and can define the way comic book movies are handled. And that was my initial first thought. And a lot's been said over the years about Heath, and we're going to talk about Heath on the show for sure and what he does as a Joker. But it wasn't even Heath Ledger's performance that made this movie for me, even though I had died before the film came out. I walked out of this movie just going, wow, I might have just seen the perfect comic book movie ever. And I've liked it ever since. And I watch it once or twice a year because it's such an amazing film. And y'all's initial thoughts 10 years ago when y'all first saw The Dark Knight?
I remember the first couple minutes leaked online. Mm-hmm. And, it looked interesting. I was like, okay, there's a bank heist at first. And some people were saying it was fake. And then, lo and behold, it starts off with a bank heist. And the way they introduce everybody, I like how they didn't go with an origin story with the Joker. I think that was well handled. But that was part of the goal. They wanted to make him absolute, and that was the words of Nolan. Great casting at first, they didn't even think
people
that
were up
they
in
were
arms
gonna,
about Ledger.
Even Nolan didn't think they were going to cast Ledger, but then, like, I guess every single person that they interviewed, they tried to audition for that role, they were all afraid to follow up after Jack Nicholson. And so this was not Jack Nicholson's Joker, this by any means, which is great. He did his own Joker, and now we base every other Joker up against Heath's. First before Jack's.
Well, I would say every Joker after this one.
Yeah, after this one,
we base.
Yeah,
because we all love the original TV series
George
Joker. He's a class of his own, and then you have Jack Nicholson, but now it's hard for anybody to play the Joker without being
compared to really either of them, but really Heath, because I feel like a lot of non-comic book fans came to just see this movie because they wanted to see Heath's last performance.
Well, that, and I think too that we are moved 30 years removed from Batman 89, that I think the newer generation isn't as stuck on Nicholson. I think Heath is going to be the definitive Joker. And I do personally think he's better than Jack. I think that he's phenomenal in this film. And I will argue with people that he would have still won Best Supporting Actor, even if he hadn't died. Because I think he was just amazing in the role.
Yeah, Michael Caine said so. So yeah. Michael Caine shares that same opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Like, watching it again last night, you know, you sit there and just the what he puts into the character, you know.
And he put a lot into it.
You know, definitely makes you feel like you're listening to a sane, insane person.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's sane enough to know what his vision is, but then it's absolutely crazy at the same time.
The kids these days would call it being too woke.
Boy, and he says it, and he even even in his dialogue in the film, when he walks into the mobster's room towards the beginning of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "You're crazy," and he's like, "I'm not," because he believes that. He knows he's not crazy. He's controlled. He's chaotic, but mm-hmm. he's controlled chaos.
So basically, chaos.
He has a plan. He knows what he's doing, and that's a great. And let's get into that. The Dark Knight, of course, the sequel to Batman Begins, where in the first one. We have to set it up a little bit. You know, Batman is introduced to Gotham mm-hmm. City, and he holds off Ra's al Ghul and his men from destroying Gotham. But in that, a few years later, in The Dark Knight, is created a mass of crime in Gotham City. Gotham City has gotten bad, and they're afraid of the Batman, but they're not so afraid that they're not willing to go about their business.
Right.
So Gotham City has suddenly become under the shades of Batman, but yet the criminal underground is still there because... And Jim Gordon says that at the end of Batman Begins, you know, you take one down, more come out, and that's why they show the Joker card at the end of the movie. And so the Joker wants to create more chaos in this crime-riddled city by ousting the Batman and hopefully killing him,
mm-hmm.
so he can take over the city for himself.
But he even says himself that he really doesn't want to kill him.
He realizes that later on in the film. But at the beginning of the film, his idea is like, we should kill him so we can take over the city. But the Joker ultimately has a plan to take it over himself. And,
right.
And he wants it all. He says, you know, and he wants to get rid of the rest of the gangsters and mobsters. And that's what ultimately makes this a crime movie as much as it is a Batman film. It's very much a crime saga in a lot of ways. And mm-hmm. Nolan has openly admitted that that's what they went for.
Yeah, it's a crime
that
movie.
They wanted to be a crime movie with superheroes. And so I wouldn't even say it's a superhero movie. Because even Batman... struggles with what he's doing, and of course the death of Rachel in it, and the disfigurement of Harvey Dent,
yeah,
makes Batman question what he's doing.
There's a lot of law aspects in here. I mean, the Rooney Rule, where they rope everybody in. There's a lot of court time, lightly irradiated bills, tracking criminals. So yeah, it's very much a detective film, and this is also the first film where Batman operates outside Gotham City.
But, you know, also, like, one of the other underlying aspects of the movie, it was about being a beacon of hope, being a good person, and doing something right without going the wrong way of doing it. And that's what Harvey Dent was supposed to be. Whereas mm-hmm. Batman, yeah, he helped the city, but he would go about the wrong way of doing it. The people, the other vigilantes that wanted to help the city and mimic Batman were going about it the wrong way as well, you know, and they were trying to keep, you know, Harvey from being that last, you know, hope of light of showing, hey, this is the right way of doing it, you know, but at the end it always fails.
Well, the whole idea of the movie very much centers on duality and dual themes, and Batman is this guy who's a symbol to the city but also is a playboy billionaire, and the Joker believes in chaos instead of order, where Batman wants order, and so does Harvey Dent, and he shows that he can turn Harvey Dent by taking Gotham's White Knight, as he calls it, mm-hmm. and make him evil.
Right.
And that's what the Joker gets at first, that's why by the end of the film, he realizes that even the Joker's like, I can't kill Batman, because without him, how do I exist in a lot of ways?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Dual themes. There's a lot of dual themes. And the cool thing about it is that this film is handled really well for having so many underlying themes. I mean, how many films have we seen? Like, I guess the most recent one would be Ant-Man and Wasp. A lot of underlying themes that kind of get lost in translation. This one is handled really well. And I don't know exactly why, but yeah, you have conflicting personalities. You have, you either live long enough to see yourself become the villain or you die a hero. There's that theme, and then, you know, that's what happens to Harvey.
And that's true. I mean, if you actually look at it, like a lot of comic book heroes and in general, mm-hmm. they kind of all share that same destiny, you know, because eventually...
Like Iron Man?
Like you can only stop the same bad guy so many times before you mm-hmm. realize that you got to permanently stop him. And once you permanently stop him, that leads to you becoming a villain. Because you're trying, you wind up doing what you're trying to keep them from doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes they, you know, and I'm talking about, I'm just talking about the supervillains. I'm not talking about the general street thugs in the comic books. I'm talking about, you know, your Jokers who get captured and get out and get captured and get out and people die because of it. So it's like, at what point do you quit locking him up? And you just put a permanent end to him.
Well, Superman put a permanent end to him, and Injustice put his arm right through his chest.
Yeah, but then that makes him a bad guy.
That's a fake comic book.
It's a side story of comic books. Did he just say fake story in comic books?
It's canon really now because of the because it's part of the DCEU.
No. Dude, like comic books.
What's part of the DC?
The dream sequence is.
But my thing though Injustice. Is. But let's be honest.
It is.
When you have the
Superman police trying to beat Superman, trying to get kryptonite.
What dream sequence? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Not in this movie.
Come on.
I said DCEU.
When DC has multiverses, is there any real one storyline within the DC universe? How many times have they rebooted?
Justin Corbett and George Trispas agree with me. They agreed with
me. Fuck those guys.
No, oh, yeah?
Yeah. So which one do you want first, Mark?
No, we're not going there, Frank.
Not literally, man.
Not
Jeez.
Today, God. Mr. Literal.
So what, The Dark Knight, you know, 10 years later, you know, rewatching this film, and it amazingly holds up really well. And man, Christopher Nolan, his directing is, he's going to win an Oscar one day. The guy is an incredible director. He's made some really good films. And me and Matt, it was funny, we were talking about doing Inception, and all of a sudden I was like, well, it's Dark Knight 10th anniversary. Yeah. I still want to do Inception one day. And, you know, he's made so far his films. I haven't disliked any movie he's made, except I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of Insomnia. That one's kind of weird, but this movie, it's like just so perfect. I think mm-hmm. it's, you know, we've talked before outside the show, like what movies you think are perfect, and there's not too many of them. And I find very little flaws in this movie. It gets a little bit comic bookish at the end with the sonar thing. Where he's trying to track the Joker.
Yeah.
That's a little bit, you know, out there, because the Dark Knight movies are very grounded in reality for the most part. But otherwise, I've watched this, and I don't find almost anything wrong with it.
Actually,
and
the sonar thing could actually possibly
work. I'm not saying it couldn't work, but it's a little out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it seems like there's a movement lately on the internet to try to, like, hate this film, because it's become the cool thing to hate DC films.
Marvel fanboys.
People argue with it, and I'm like, what? And they have nothing to argue with over this film. There's nothing wrong with this movie.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder now, in the current DC universe, Warner Brothers made this, right? And it's the same studio, and they made these three amazing, amazing Batman films, but yet they can't seem to get their universe right. And it's the same studio, so the template is there, how to make great comic movies. How come you can't translate that into, you know, what you're doing now?
Maybe they just need to hire Nolan to direct all of them.
Well, and he produced Man of Steel, and you know, I know people don't like Man of Steel, but I think Man of Steel is pretty good.
I like Man
other
of Steel.
Other than the Jonathan Kent scene, that's always going to bug me.
You could argue that's the second best DCEU film.
Yeah, behind Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You know, and but again, the Jonathan Kent scene. Oh,
yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Because he kills him with a tornado. The whole idea of Superman, his dad dying, is that Superman couldn't help him. So he felt, with all that power.
Well, that was the part of the whole tornado. He told him to stand back, because if he went and helped him,
the real
then it
Superman,
would reveal him.
That doesn't matter. That's the point, though. The real Superman would have never let his dad die like that. The whole idea is he dies of natural causes.
A heart attack, because there's nothing that Superman could do about that.
And that's why the tornado scene is so stupid, because Superman could have stopped it.
Yeah.
And that scene's always going to bug me. But anyway, let's get back on The Dark Knight. So this film, to me, out of all the comic book movies that have ever been made, this is number one, The Dark Knight. And I think I honestly think there's no argument. I don't think, whether it's Superman the movie with Christopher Reeve or Infinity War or anything else, I think this is the movie that every comic book movie should be based on. I do think The Dark Knight is an absolute masterpiece.
No, I agree. I think I think in some ways, you know, you you could kind of emulate something similar with, like, you know, Winter Soldier, you know, where you make it more than just a superhero. You add something else to it. So you add a lot of crime. You know, you add, you know, the duality of man. You add stuff like that into this film, and that's why it's so different. You know, I think that's what makes these comic book movies better. So when you add everyday stuff into it, and
The performances. I mean, we'll talk about Heath a lot, but Christian Bale is my favorite Batman in some ways. I grew up with Michael Keaton, and I appreciate what Michael Keaton did.
Yeah,
but I just think Bale really, because as a Batman reader, Bale really did a good job of bringing that kind of awkward playboy vibe to it, but yet being a Batman that you could believe that this guy could whoop your ass when he's behind the mask. Mm-hmm. And then Aaron Eckhart does a great job as Harvey Dent. Plays him as kind of a wiry, not afraid of nothing kind of guy.
Yeah.
And Michael Caine is excellent as Alfred.
Yes.
He's the conscious of the films, mm-hmm. all the way into The Dark Knight Rises. And there's, when at the end of Dark Knight Rises, when he's crying, you feel for him. Because, you know, you realize then that he's the glue that holds it all together, right. Is Alfred.
And you bring up Bale, like, I consider him one of those that, like, he plays the role perfect, both the playboy and the billionaire, you know?
Aren't they the same thing?
No, the playboy billionaire, but also the Batman character, in the sense that, like, he's believable in both roles. I like Michael Keaton. I found him more fascinating as Batman kicking butt than I did as the playboy. You know, whereas George Clooney kind of like had the pretty boy. No, yeah. I'm just saying. And even, what's his name that played Batman?
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer had the rich guy look going on. I just really wasn't into their Batman in the movies. You know what I mean?
That was the problem with those 90s Schumacher films. Schumacher cast stars. Where Tim Burton. Yes, Michael Keaton was a star, but Tim Burton cast more for style. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Style over stardom.
Right.
And my problem with, like, Michael Keaton was always, like, I looked at him as Mr. Mom. Where Christian Bale had already done some movies where you knew he could kick ass. You
know? So as Mr. Bobby go out, kick ass as Batman, they come home and do the laundry for everybody. Exactly. And make dinner.
And but Bale has become my favorite Batman, and I like what Affleck's done with the role so far. You know, I know Affleck might not do it a lot longer, but I would like to at least get one film out of him as Batman, as a whole film.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like what Bale did with these, and I really think Bale honestly gets to shine more in The Dark Knight Rises. Yes, there's not as much Batman in The Dark Knight Rises, but I think that's why Bale gets to shine when he's in the caves and all that. Under Bane's control, Bale really gets to bring out the role a lot more in that, where this is more Heath's movie in a lot of ways. And you know, Heath locked himself in a hotel room for 6 weeks to prepare for the role. Mm-hmm. Little things like the twitches with the hair and all that he created to himself. The lip licking is actually because the prosthetic kept coming off, so he had to lick it so it would stay on. It became part of the character, you know. And
that's funny.
And he created all that, and he
even filmed
the little short films. Yeah,
the first one Nolan was with him whenever he was filming the fake Batman, but then the second one when he's filming
the hand camera scenes. Yeah,
the hand camera scene, the second hand camera scenes, he did himself. Nolan was like, "Hey, you're really good. You know, you can do the other one by yourself. It's fine."
And he even helped with the makeup design. He helped pick out the clothing. And stuff. He really got involved with how he wanted the character to look and how he wanted it to be. And
I like that he kept the purple suit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then in January of 2008, we lost him to, you know.
He
mixed up medicines. You know, Heath had some demons of his own that he was dealing with. And it's a shame, but then this movie came out, and it felt very reminiscent of Brandon Lee. You know, Brandon Lee would have become a huge star, and Heath was already a star, but he would have been even bigger because of this.
Do you think they would have done a fourth one?
Oh,
that brought him back.
I think they would have done a fourth one. I think the Joker would have been in part three.
Yeah. You think so?
Christopher Nolan and his brother have already said it, that they had plans for the Joker to be in the third one, and they had a script outline already ready to go, and they did have to do some rewriting, and that's why it took 4 years for the film to come out. They had planned on Dark Knight 3 or whatever being out in 2010 or 11, but it took them a little bit longer because Nolan almost didn't even want to do it because he was so distraught over the death of Heath. But his brother actually came to him and said, hey, I have a way to do this. We can use Bane and do this. And Christopher liked the idea enough that they were able to go ahead and make...
And tie it into the first one.
And But he fully intended on using Heath. And there's been... No one really knows, but there's been talk out there that it would have been, Bane still would have been in it, but the Joker would have been, like, still been in it, too, and they would have tied it all together.
I heard they were
going to... They would have had two storylines.
Right.
Well, you think they would have scrapped Catwoman?
We do know that there's a deleted scene that was never filmed where Batman goes and sees the Joker in Arkham Asylum at the end of The Dark Knight, and it would have tied in with a third one. But okay. apparently that footage is... I've heard... I don't know if the footage exists or it's been destroyed, but there was a whole epilogue in the film that they ended up not using.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, another reason why I like this one is because they finally decided to fix some of the issues with the bat outfit. You know,
the
cow.
Like to be able to back out of the driveway.
I mean, it was like I was watching the extras, and the fact that they actually made a where he could actually turn his head from side to side, and the suit was actually more practical.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, the way it moved, and they were the materials that they were able to use or did choose to use this time in the movie was actually more practical than the old ones. Instead of that big bulky looking like, oh, we got to add extra muscle to Batman by making the suit overbearingly heavy. You know, like they did for Michael Keaton and a lot of the other ones. You know, they kind of went away from that. And, you know, also, you know, like one of the extras I caught was the fact that the reason why the beginning of the movie looks so good is because they shot it in IMAX.
Well, yeah, there's four IMAX scenes in this film.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then, because, like, whenever I started watching the movie, I was like, I sit there and I was like, man, this opening is so beautiful.
Yeah, there's four IMAX scenes in the movie. They were all shot with, there's only three or four IMAX cameras in the world at the time. And it's this sequence, the car flip sequence, and a couple of more. It's like four. Oh, one, the Hong Kong sequence is in IMAX.
Okay. Yeah.
And actually, on your Blu-rays, the film blows up to full screen on your TV, and then it goes back to the black bars at top, and you don't really notice it.
Because it's subtle, because the black bars really aren't that big. Because
they wanted to keep the IMAX feel in there. But yeah, just a remarkable, remarkable film, and easily probably the best comic movie ever made. I would argue that whether it's Marvel Studios, DC, or Image, whoever makes films, should look at this as a template for how to make a great comic movie. And, you know. And we're going to rank the Batman films real quick before. But any final thoughts on The Dark Knight?
No, it's, you know, it's just sad that, you know, Heath went crazy. You know, he started seeing the Joker, had to take all those psychopathic meds and then. Or antipsychotic meds, and then mixed them up, and he died. Eventually, you could say that he gave his life for the role.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there's other things, but
sad, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, you saw that performance and a lot of other things that he could have potentially done down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we lost a great talent, but you know, we got a great performance. That's one of his last performances. Yes. So he went out on a high note.
And 10 years later, still a remarkable film that will be remembered for a long time. And that's the great thing about it. It's the ultimate legacy for an actor is to make a film that can be remembered for 100 years. You know, and I think this film is right there. So let's talk. So by my count, there has been 11 theatrically released films that are Batman, or at least have Batman in them. And so we kind of did an average ranking. A lot of times we do round table or we do our list, but we're going to do this together. At number 10, we have Batman and Robin. Obviously, the worst Batman film probably ever made. I remember seeing it with my father and walking out of the theater, and we both went, what the hell did we just
watch? Can we just done a top 10? Was that number 11?
Or 11, sorry.
Can we just, yeah, like, we should have gone in with 10.
At number 10, I put Batman Forever, which is funny because it's arguably my guilty pleasure Batman.
Is that the one with the Sill song?
Yes.
I like that one.
It's got moments that are watchable, and the Jim Carrey's generally pretty good.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones is a hack in it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, over the top.
Yeah.
But there's moments in this movie that are well done.
Did you ever go to Astroworld?
Yeah.
During this time, they always acted out they had the scene where they had the boat, you know, shooting missiles and they had a fire.
The first modern live action Robin, which the costume was cool.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah. At number 9, I have Batman vs. Superman. A film that we really wanted to be way better than it was.
Yeah.
And I don't hate it. We all agree when we did the show on it a couple years ago, we didn't hate it. But just like he wanted so much more. Yeah. Right? At number 8, Justice League, which is enough Batman in it to be a Batman film. Again, a film that was enjoyable, but we just wanted more.
Yeah.
That's where these DC Universe movies are sitting at right now. It's like,
and I think that's more. You know, going back to the Batman vs. Superman, they should have just had that one where they fought it, hug it out at the end, and then did a Superman movie where he fought Doomsday and died.
At number 7. Batman 66, the original classic Batman.
Yep.
Yes.
A guilty pleasure, fun movie. Silly.
Had all the villains in it.
Entertaining. And had all the villains in it. You're right.
And a shark.
And a shark.
And yes. With shark repellent. At number 6, Batman Returns. It's the weird Batman, but still pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
You know?
DeVito in those weird thermal
Michelle
tights.
Pfeiffer looking really hot in
leather. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer, you know? Dude.
One of the sexiest.
Hell yeah.
At number 5, Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which you could argue it's the best Batman movie made over The Dark Knight. It's a really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's the only animated Batman feature to ever be released theatrically, officially, not counting the special DC animated films they do. And a really, really fun movie. And I want to give a shout out here to Matinee Heroes. Go listen to their latest episode they put out last week where Craig does a panel with Kevin Conroy at a Comic-Con. They talk a lot of Mask of the Phantasm. Really cool show. At number 4, we have the original Batman 89 with Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton, which we did on the show.
That made me fall in love with Batman.
Which we did on the show in episode 80. I remember couldn't wait to see that in theaters. Matt, you're only like 3 years old, so you had to wait for him.
A little funny side note. I like that movie so much that like I bought a bunch of Batman shirts and wore them to school, and then like my gym coach started calling me Batman. You're like, Batman, get over there and play. Do
and if
something.
You don't own it on Blu-ray, man, the great thing about Blu-ray is it's made for movies that are old. And Batman 89 looks spectacular on Blu-ray. And you can usually find it in $7 bins at Walmart or whatever.
Actually, you can find the all four
for
of
like
those.
$20 or
yeah, it's blue. The standard is like $10 or less, and the Blu-ray is like $15.
I do own Batman Forever on Blu-ray just to have it. The only one I don't have is Batman and Robin of those. At number 3, The Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. Which Nolan's films, man, all three of them are excellent. It's become cool again to hate on The Dark Knight Rises, but Dark Knight Rises is a really, really great film in its own right, and one I imagine one day we'll cover on the show.
Actually, before I came over here, it was actually on TV, so I was watching a little bit of that before I came over.
As fantastic as the bank robbery scene is in The Dark Knight, it has a fantastic opening sequence too with the airplane. Really well done. And number 2, Batman Begins, which is rebooted Batman, brought Nolan's Batman into where we are now. And at number 1, The Dark Knight.
The best Batman film made.
And the way every Batman film should be. So
definitely.
I am Batman.
I'm Batman.
All right, well, Comic-Con.
No, I am Batman.
Comic-Con is going on right now as we speak in this very room. We're waiting for the Aquaman trailer sometime today, but we're going to have to talk about that next week. But let's talk about what has happened at Comic-Con so far. We're going to stay on DC for a couple of minutes here. They announced the next 3 DC animated films. Of course, Death of Superman comes out in a couple weeks, and we know Reign of Superman is coming out, they're saying, January. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to get 4 films in 2019 because they're counting Reign of Superman. We're going to finally get an adaption of Batman Hush, the famous Jim Lee comic storyline. That should be cool. It's a really good storyline. It has Joker in it. It has Harley Quinn. All those bad guys are in it. Ra's al Ghul. They probably are going to do the new 52 version of it like they did with Death of Superman. Okay. But Death of Superman worked really well. So if they do that with the Hush storyline, that should be cool. So it'll be our first time we've had the Joker in the new 52 Batman animated films. They also are going to do Justice League versus the Fatal Five. Who are the Fatal Five? Well, they're a group of bad guys introduced in 1967 that generally ran around with the Legion of Superheroes. So they're going to come in and battle the Justice League, and it's an original story. It's not going to be based on a comic, but maybe we'll get the Legion of Superheroes introduced in this. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And then lastly, they announced Wonder Woman Bloodlines, which makes sense with Wonder Woman 84 coming out next year. They'll do another Wonder Woman animated film. So that'll be exciting. These movies are always a lot of fun. For the most part, I'd say 80% of them are good. There's only been a few duds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like a lot of them.
Let's keep the DC animated going. And along with DC Anime, they also released a trailer for Young Justice Season 3 called Young Justice Outsiders. Young Justice was so fucking good. Really looking forward to this. It's the reason I want to subscribe to the DC streaming service, because I want to watch Young Justice. And they did announce that it's $75 for the year. If you subscribe now, you get 3 free months. Oh, and it's only going to be $7.99 a month, so not bad. It's going to be worth it just to watch Young Justice, you know. I think that this is a service I will subscribe to at least for a little while and give it a chance. I'm sure they'll have a free 30-day trial like most subscription services do.
Yeah.
And along with the Young Justice... Any thoughts on Young Justice Season 3?
Yeah.
I watched the trailer. It actually looked really good.
I don't like that they spoiled Wally's death.
No, that happened in Season 2, Wally's death.
Did that happen in Season 2?
That the whole beginning of the trailer.
Yeah, the whole beginning of the trailer, because that's why it looks different.
The beginning of the trailer
was
a recap.
Oh,
okay. The actual season 3 footage starts when you see Artemis getting out of bed.
It almost felt like two different trailers, right? In that sense, yeah. You know, like if you're like somebody that didn't watch that last season,
yeah,
they almost felt like two separate trailers, like, right. You know, so that's probably what you were thinking too, because yeah. Did you get that feeling like it was two separate trailers?
Maybe I didn't finish all of season 2. Maybe
probably
I,
not.
Maybe I started it.
I haven't even watched it.
Because
so.
I know I watched one.
Yeah.
So.
But no, it looks really exciting and cool. And then... we're going to say one more DC note. The Titans trailer was released, and man, this has been all over the internet. A lot of crazy people are like, what? It has Robin in it saying, fuck Batman, Robin breaking necks.
This looks like Damian Dark's Robin.
Like, I'll watch it because.
But it was something you were hoping that you could watch.
I love this stuff, but I don't get their marketing strategy. Next week, Teen Titans Go to the Movies comes out in theaters.
Yeah.
It's Cartoon Network's number one show. Robin is immensely popular with kids. You're launching a streaming service, so this is your flagship show, and you're making it where it's only for adults. I'm just not sure what DC's doing here. Like,
yeah, it has two characters from Teen Titans in the trailer.
More than two. I mean, it's got Raven, it's got Starfire, it's got Robin. I want it to be good. I'm not impressed with the trailer. I mean, Robin looks cool, but overall, I think their trailer's kind of bad. It's really dark.
I think they're trying to go for like almost like a Gotham feel.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It looks like it might be centered more around Raven.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because, so maybe the bad guy's going to be Trigon?
Maybe. I just, I hope it's good. I wish it was a little more kid-friendly.
Yeah.
So, we'll see where DC goes with these new shows. I mean, they also got Swamp Thing. They announced Stargirl is going to become a DC universe. So we'll see. I hope for good stuff, you know. I'll give it a shot, you know. And I think that was all the DC stuff. Oh, yeah, it is. Got a couple other trailers to talk about. M. Night Shyamalan released his trailer for Glass.
Yes.
I still haven't watched Split. I have it on my DVR.
Oh, I love it.
You know, Unbreakable, he's been talking a sequel for years, and Shyamalan hasn't done a lot of really good stuff lately, and I've heard decent things about Split. The trailer didn't really completely sell me on the film, but I was like, well, it looks cool. I'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
For me, the beginning, like, at the beginning, I'm like, okay, what's going on? But then as they're starting to, once you start getting into the whole trailer, then I'm like, okay, this actually ties in the other two movies very well within the trailer, at least.
And the one thing about Unbreakable was that you watched this film unfold and you didn't really know it was a superhero movie till the end of it. Where this time, that surprise is kind of ruined. You know he's the bad guy and he's the hero, and it feels like it might be a little more cliche in this version.
Or straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, because even in Split... You don't even, you know, you really, and if you go into it not knowing anything, you don't even know it ties into.
Until the end of the film.
Until the end. You're like, you're sitting there going, holy shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is Shyamalan's comeback. Maybe it's Bruce Willis's comeback.
I consider both of them excellent movies, last two.
Let's face it, Bruce Willis is having to do Death Wish remakes to make a paycheck nowadays and considering doing Die Hard Year One, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So maybe this is Willis's comeback. So we'll give it a chance. And lastly, the big unexpected news out of Comic-Con is the return of Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Yes.
No one saw this coming. When it was canceled in 2013, it wasn't canceled because it wasn't doing well. It was canceled because Disney bought Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really own Clone Wars. It was kind of owned by the Cartoon Network. So obviously they must have worked out their differences. And we're going to get... We did have the 6 episodes that aired on Netflix that kind of tied up some loose ends. But there's still a lot of loose ends that weren't tied up. And we're going to get that with, I think they said, 12 episodes. 12 or 14, it's going to be on the DC streaming service coming early next year, and this was cool. I mean, as a Star Wars fan, you watch this trailer, you're like, this is the kind of Star Wars trailer, and I want to stay positive. We're not getting into whether we hated Last Jedi or not, but this is the kind of Star Wars trailer that made you go, yeah, this is why I watch Star Wars.
Okay. And you know, you just said that we're not going to get into the hate thing. My cousin was one of those jaded people because of the last movie. Mm-hmm. He called me yesterday going, did you see the trailer for Clone Wars? And I'm like, yes, I just got through watching it. It looks really good, you know. So,
and I'm sure they'll maybe tie it in with Rebels a little bit more, because as far as we knew, when Ahsoka walked off the platform at the end of Season 5, when she left Jedi Order, we didn't know that she ever saw Anakin again until she realized he was Darth Vader in Star Wars Rebels. So how are they going to play into that? You know, because he sees her again, we might get to see how Ahsoka gets the double white lightsabers.
Well, I was watching something, and apparently her and Anakin, it ties into the beginning of the last one, where they're supposed to go, I forget where, what some major battle that they're supposed to tend to, but then he's called to go protect the Emperor, and leaves her to take on the task herself, and before she even gets there to do anything, that's when the Order is called in.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking, the looks of this, maybe they'll have this leading right into when Order 66 happens.
Right, like, she doesn't even get to the battle. Yeah.
So really looking forward to that. Matt, you're quiet, man. It's Star Wars, dude. Come on, you got to be excited.
No, it's like you said, it ended, you know, with kind of a, you know, not a complete ending. And I think it can only get better. Yeah. I mean, you know, it wasn't the best. I don't think it was the best animated series. I think Rebels is probably better. But I think this could probably top them both.
Yeah.
I would have to say thank you to Lucas and Films or whoever for our Lucas Entertainment for
Lucasfilm. It's just one word here.
Whatever. all Lucas. But anyway, the people responsible for like saying, okay, now that we've settled in, we know where we're going, we can like make it up to the fans for just abruptly ending this when we signed the deal with Disney and just cut off on everything. You know, like, okay, now we're gonna go and, you know, tie some loose strings up for the fans, you know, kind of make it up for, you know, the last movie. But anyway, so that was all good.
Little bitch just had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Last Jedi rules.
Hey, at least, as much as I hate it, at least I'm still not one of those people that actually think that, you know, Entertainment would go out there remake.
Lucasfilm. Why is that so hard to say?
Lucasfilm, whatever. I'd say Entertainment because they have a lot of umbrellas of things. But Lucasfilm is not going to go and remake a whole damn movie, especially when they made a shitload of money.
Yeah.
To please a handful of fans. Okay. So get over it. Move on. Bitch about the next one when it comes out.
So let's talk about the next movie we are going to do on the Rebel Radio Podcast. Dun dun dun.
You didn't tell me what we were doing.
I can't do the Bond.
Howard the Duck. No. Yes, I watched that DVD five times.
The Bond theme. I was going to try to sing it.
But
we're going to do a 007 movie. We're going to do Pierce Brosnan starring GoldenEye.
When the world is the target.
72 hours ago, a secret weapon system was detonated over Savannah.
And the threat is real.
GoldenEye exists. A radiation surge that destroys everything with an electronic circuit.
You can still depend on one man.
I want you to find GoldenEye.
Three.
Find who took it.
Two.
And stop it.
One.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
The world's most famous secret agent is back.
We aim to please.
And this time, 007 is facing the ultimate enemy. The man who knows him best.
Hello, James.
What an unpleasant surprise.
006.
What's the message? No pithy comeback?
He was your friend, and now he's your enemy, and you will kill him.
Is the satellite in range?
Target is London.
Now, the entire world is about to be caught in the crossfire.
See you in hell, James.
You first.
Kill him.
The pleasure will be all mine.
Did you check her out?
Head to toe.
Three clicks, arms the fuse. Don't say it.
The writing's on the wall.
Grow up, 007.
I think you're a sexist, misogynist dinosaur, a relic of the Cold War.
know, James, I was always better.
Both of you, stop it. You like boys with toys.
Trick is to quit while you're still here.
I wouldn't think of it.
Charming, sophisticated secret agent. Shaken, but not disturbed.
Get us out of here!
Bond, only Bond. Man just won't take a hint.
You don't need the gun.
That depends on your definition of safe sex.
On November 17th...
Grab it!
United Artists brings you...
Trust me.
James Bond.
Why can't you just be a good boy and die?
That's one trick I've never learned.
Yes. Man, Bond is a character that...
Wait, we're doing GoldenEye?
We're doing GoldenEye.
Wait, I didn't even see, like, the results.
We didn't get... The poll didn't do as well as the Iron Man poll did, but it won, so we're doing GoldenEye.
Wait, how did it win?
It got more votes than the other...
Like, two?
Can I...
But back voting 10 or 20 times because that's the one he picked.
Well, I have something to admit.
And then he probably had, like, everybody he knows.
I saw that GoldenEye was tied with From Russia with Love.
And you bastard!
I remember
that was
that
mine.
I made that other Twitter account, and I came
you
in and
cheating,
I thought it was for GoldenEye.
You cheating bastard!
It won't be.
Wait! Did you rig the election like the Russians?
I took it away from the Russian movie.
It won't be the only Bond film we ever do. I mean, Bond. There's 25 Bond films to do. I'm sure we'll do more. But GoldenEye is kind of the modern, popular Bond film other than Daniel Craig's films, and it's a good movie, and it's been a while since I've watched it. I'm kind of looking forward to watching it. I haven't watched it in a long time. It should be a fun movie to do. Bond movies are always fun. You know, in fact, in some ways, I like Craig's films, but taking the approach of doing more realistic Bond, sometimes you forget how fun the old Bond movies were, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Die Another Day with you, and you were making jokes about how those cars should have crashed and all this, but you gotta remember, that's how Bond was back in the day. It was kind of a fun movie. When the cars are falling on the airplane, they don't explode when they hit the ground. So what? You take it for what it is, you know? And
I mean, come on. These are the movies that gave us guys with, like, you know, ironclad jaws and hats that would cut off heads and
random
pinch your hands, you know.
Yeah, Bond is
and a voodoo priest.
Bond's a great character that's going to live on for many, many years, and we'll get tons of more Bond films. They're fixing to start filming the next one real soon for release next year, and you know, and Craig, even though Craig said he was going to slit his wrist before doing another Bond film, he's coming back. Pierce Brosnan was a really fun Bond, you know, and this is the first movie he did, and so it should be fun talking GoldenEye next week on the show.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So until then, though, until we talk GoldenEye, thank you as always for listening. Go to therebelradiopodcast.com for all the episodes. Hit the store up, buy a t-shirt if you want. We have a new logo we put out. I'm hoping maybe put the new logo on a new t-shirt here soon. And or support us by going to PayPal and giving us a donation, if you like, that helps out with the show. Any shout-outs you guys had today? I gave one to Matinee Heroes. As always, our boys at the Thor Skin, always shouting out to them. And Kyle over at Tokyo Munchies and Miguel for always the support he gives us and the guys at Critical Thinking Podcast.
Raging Nerds.
Raging Nerds. And I gave Erica and John a hard time because they interviewed Diego at DeltaCon.
We interviewed
Compalooza. I was like, oh, you got a copy of somebody interviewing Diego. You know, in his game. And a shout out to Diego for his game, Aqua Lungers, which is available on Steam. And so good group of people here in Houston always supporting each other. So until next time, that's all I've got here on the Rebel Radio Podcast. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This has been Frank.
As always, just go there and do it.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.